sees, not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Before we get too deep, first a little history lesson. Saul was Israel's first king. Previously, Israel had been a confederation of the 12 tribes of Israel, but the people had begun to insist on a king like all the other nations around them, and Saul became their king about 1,000 years before Christ. As with many of the kings of Israel, Saul and God began to have a difference of opinion. And we may well guess whose opinion held sway at the end of the discussion. Whatever the ins and outs of the relationship between God and Saul, God had in fact chosen another king, and it fell to the great prophet Samuel to find and anoint God's chosen king. After some effort that we heard about in the scripture readings this morning, the prophet Samuel found the shepherd named David who was out in the fields. He was brought before him, and the Lord, searching David's heart, said, "This is the one. Anoint him." Perhaps like all humans, the prophet Samuel was ready to anoint as king the first strong and handsome guy he saw. Who doesn't want to be led by someone pleasing to the eye? But Samuel was making a human judgment, one from the outward appearances of man. We understand from this story that we heard that Samuel did not have God's insight into the human heart, certainly not David's heart. God had not spoken. Had God not spoken, Samuel's first choice would have been terrible, an error grounded in his readiness to form a conclusion way too readily. And this is the difference between the judgment of God and of humans. You see, humans see surprisingly little, if you really want to know the truth, and they make partial, inferior, often hasty judgments. Some miscalculations hang around to haunt a person's life or even an institution long after that person is gone from the scene. And God, on the other hand, sees right through us and forms a just and perfect judgment. As we move through the scriptures, we see reminders of this rather frequently. God told Jeremiah, "I only, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind." And the great Solomon prayed these words, "Thou only knowest the heart of all the children of men." So, what does the Lord, from whom no secrets are hid, see when he searches the heart of us, of human beings, his creation? Well, the answer can be really quite shocking to those who have let their scripture study slip. To the prophet Jeremiah, for example, God says the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. The Old Testament is rather chock full of reminders just like this. In the New Testament, the most revealing witness against the human heart comes in the second chapter of John's Gospel, where he wrote that Jesus didn't even trust the people who came out to hear him preach. And sadly, this is what St. John wrote. Jesus did not trust himself to them, the crowd, the people, because he knew them and needed no one to tell him, for he himself knew what was in the hearts of man. But notice that the scriptures don't say Jesus did not love him. It says he couldn't trust them because he knew what was within them. And so here we come to the kernel of this lesson today. We all know what happens to David in scripture, right? God looked into David's heart, and no doubt he saw the lust. He saw the adultery. He saw the tremendous greed, such that David would later stoop to tremendous evil to get what he wanted. So what's going on here? God saw the bad in David's heart, just as he sees what is in every human heart, yours, mine also. But God saw something else in David that was pleasing to him. And we don't have to guess at this. God saw the seed of penitence and contrition that would, much later in David's life, bring the mighty king of Israel to his knees in tears, begging for forgiveness. We have evidence of this in the 51st Psalm, a Psalm of David, in which he speaks, "Have mercy on me, O God, for I know my transgressions and done what is evil in your sight." The sacrifice of God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. You see, the story of David provides real comfort, provides us with real comfort, as much comfort to the followers of Jesus today as it was comforting to the Israelites so long ago. The humbled, contrite Christian does not have to worry about the eye of an all-seeing Savior. In Christ Jesus, we have absolutely nothing to hide. We couldn't hide, even if we wanted to. But within Christ Jesus, there is no rejection. We are chosen. He invites all to come to Him. And I hope you hear these words. There is no rejection. Only we reject Him. No matter what anyone has done, there is forgiveness and acceptance in the here and now. Our Lord Jesus gave His life for that very gift. But you see, here's the issue for believers. We know what the world is like out there. It can be harsh and cruel, no doubt. It can be a place where even God's voice may well be drowned out by the din of the white noise of society, the race to gain some kind of security, the simple poverty of spirit that perhaps each one of us at one time or another has come face to face with. You see, Jesus' gift of peace and forgiveness in the here and now and everlasting life at the end is a message that can and does get drowned out and even squandered by believers. Who says this is not true? But friends, in His wisdom, our Lord has put in place a certain remedy, one of many that He has for us. In His infinite mercy, He uses humans, oddly enough, as one of His favorite vehicles for His mighty message. Only God knows why He uses us to do the important work He left here for us on this earth. But surely it is tangled up in our own years of invitation at St. Mark's. Just as Jesus sent His friends and followers out to invite, so are we, as the people of God, sent today. When we invite to our church, our parish, St. Mark's, we are inviting people into a relationship with the one and true living God in Christ Jesus. We are inviting them into a safe place where Jesus continues His mighty work on the hearts of His followers. So as you see, when you look at it like that, when we don't invite, we are depriving not only other people, but ourselves of His mission in the world. Whatever we think of someone, whatever they look like, wherever they come from, whatever we may think they have done or are doing even now, none of that, friends, is our business. It is the business of God, and thank God it is His mighty hands and not ours that make the choice. The Lord always chooses. I pray we take seriously God's word today and its implications for us. I pray that we are self-reflective as a people of God enough to appreciate that the Lord has done something very special for each one of us. He has chosen us to make His mighty word of salvation available to others. The message is clear as it is necessary in these times. Peace, forgiveness in the here and now, and everlasting life to come. And this is just a bare minimum of what a life in Christ offers. And it is a message we are blessed as the people of God to share with others without prejudice, because the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Will you please pray with me? Gracious Father, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to be the true bread which giveth life to the world. Evermore, give us this bread, that he may live in us and we in him, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.